Welcome back to The President's Perspective, a monthly half-hour chat with the CEO of TAMUC, Dr. Dan Jones. I'm Jared Knight. We've talked about keeping the campus safe from harm. Now let's explore the ways in which the university's physical space is set to change over the coming months and years to continue to serve its purpose.
Thanks, Jared. Mr. Brown continues to be our guest for this portion of the show. And let me give a little context for our conversation here today. You know, we live in a beautiful community, and our campus is so historic. Our newest building is only a few months old, and then we have buildings going back to 1923, Ferguson Hall. So the campus continues to evolve and change over time, and it's kind of an organic entity in and of itself. And of course, it's always wonderful to have alumni back on campus, and they recognize the old things and see the new things, and they're just stunned with the changes that have taken place. But in order for a university to continue to grow and thrive and flourish, it really needs to think in a very deliberate and far-sighted way about the nature of the campus itself. What does it mean to have a campus presence? You know, in this age of online instruction, electronic delivery, there's a lot of people that think that higher education is migrating to the internet. Well, of course it is, but university campuses are going to be around for a long, long time.
Right.
And that is such an integral part of the college experience of, for so many of our students. We need to spend a lot of time in deliberate planning about where has our campus come from and how do we want to see it grow and evolve into the future. And we have just, we're not quite to the end of it. We are in the final phases of a master planning process. We do this every few years. We're actually a little ahead of time on this one. We had so many changes recently that we decided it was time, rather than wait for 10 years to do a master plan,
sure,
the time had come around to really start talking about it now. And Mr. Brown, our Chief Financial Officer, Vice President for Business Administration, has been the one who's been heading up that effort. So, Bob, let me just turn to you and ask you to describe a little bit the process that we've followed in terms of coming up with our master plan.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. The very first thing we did was to decide on an overriding description of what we wanted the master plan to be and what we wanted it to reflect, and that was to follow your charge that we become a residential campus of first choice here in Texas. Having that as a structure and having that as an ultimate goal for the master plan, we hired the architectural firm of Good, Fulton, and Farrell and a number of very other specialists that work with the primary architect. That is, folks that help us with roadways, mm-hmm, folks know how to, folks that help us with the physical plant, all the piping underneath the
right,
structures, all of the necessary experts in order to really get an entire look at a campus. And then after hiring the architect, we went ahead and had extremely detailed evaluation of how we use our facilities, what the current strengths are of the buildings that we have, how we schedule our rooms and how we schedule our labs. We went into some detail that's probably not too exciting to most folks, but very necessary if you're going to do a master plan. And then sent questionnaires out to a number of our constituents, everything from our college deans and executives here at the institution to our community and mm-hmm, our alumni, and then had meetings with all of those folks and got their input into what they believe the university needs and as it moves forward, how they use the space they have now. And those were very well attended. I must say the alumni group was the most engaged and most,
yeah,
vocal and had a lot of fun.
Often
with
the case, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But you know, that's wonderful to have such engaged alumni so near at hand.
And so they informed the process a lot. They told us what buildings they thought maybe were perhaps their useful life, because that's mm-hmm, one of the things that happens through the master planning process. You identify buildings that may have served us well but are no longer relevant as we move forward, as well as things that we need to pay attention to as
right,
we went. And then we did an iteration of that, and we asked the architect to bring back a plan that said, you know, based on what we hear, here's kind of a general outline of what we think the institution needs over the next 15 to 20 years. And you appointed a master planning committee that worked
right
with us, and we gave some responses to that, and they went back and they did another iteration of that, and then we held some public forums last week with students and with staff and with city council, and have tons and tons of input, and have a final product, I believe, that both you and the university community will be proud.
So, Jared, as you can see, this is a very deliberative and consultative process. It's,
right.
it's not just a matter of kind of getting a group of really bright architects and locking them in a room and say, come up with a vision.
Right.
There are so many different communities that we serve here. Obviously, our students, our faculty, but also the community of commerce. Mr. Brown mentioned our alumni. All of them have a stake in this process, and each one has an important voice in terms of helping us chart our course forward.
Well, we've talked about on this program in the past the way that it's very difficult to predict the needs of, say, a university community in the future. I mean, even if you were to break it down into the subparts and the students and the way that they interact with the teachers and the way that they interact with the educational materials
Right. Couldn't
really be predicted 5 and 10 years ago.
No.
And so to be able to see that change and to be able to come up with something that is so very versatile in,
right.
in order to kind of change with the times is, I know, a very difficult process. And having more opinions and more minds may not necessarily make that something easier to do. But my guess is that this is a massive undertaking anyway.
Well, and, you know, at the end of the day, everyone will be pleased with the result
right.
because everyone's had a chance to participate in the process. You know, you mentioned classrooms. Classroom buildings ought to be the simplest thing in the world, right? You just build a building and lay out some rooms.
Right.
Put
right.
chairs and tables in them.
You would think.
But the changing nature of education and the course of the revolution that technology has brought to the educational process, not just online but in the classroom. It's not a luxury to have internet in the classroom. It's a requirement.
Right.
You know,
right.
they have to have it in order to be able to teach. Students have to have access to information quickly. So all of those factors go into consideration in putting together a master plan.
I think it's just incredible, like I said, being able to see around the corner into the future, at least sort of predict the future. I don't know if anyone's got the crystal ball.
Yeah.
In order to do that, but...
Well, we do have a copy. I've got a copy here in front of us, and I'll hold this up so our listeners can see it.
Yeah, sure.
But there is a copy of the plan on the website, so anyone who is interested in exploring further, just go to the A&M Commerce website and search for Master Plan. But let me ask Mr. Brown, if we could, just in a very briefly, talk about some of the highlights going forward 5, 10, 15, 20 years out. What are some of the big new things that we're going to see happen on campus?
I think some of the exciting stuff is that I've identified the need for a new classroom building, which will be mm-hmm. much very flexible, and the spaces inside of it flexible. We need a brand new library. We need to be able to identify the kind of library that's needed now with technology access and cooperative workspaces and good group spaces and all of that. A nursing building.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at the possibility of combining our three buildings now that serve the art program into one grand facility and put it right next to the music building so that
mm-hmm.
we can have kind of a
art village,
kind of thing, so that it is we can embrace the interdisciplinary work that those folks do in music and the arts, and we've got the amphitheater over there, so it's kind of a natural place to be. I think that's exciting. I think the creation of a grand mall
mm-hmm.
through the heart of the campus to a big open space for recreation and for just the ability to feel like you're at that residential campus of the
right.
of first choice. All of that is exciting. It really is a fun thing to be involved in when you can take kind of what you know about the programs the university is continuing to grow and to emphasize, the programs that have been successful, and find new ways to deliver facilities for them. It's probably the most fun you get to have in my role.
Right. Yeah, and it is. Love to talk about the future, you know, and it is it's a very exciting process. And again, I would encourage anyone who is interested to go to the website and take a look at it.
We'll put a link on KETR's post here about this story.
Good. Well, Mr. Brown, thanks so much for joining us and bringing us up to date on the master plan. And most of all, thanks for your leadership in making it happen.
Thank you, Dr. Jones. Enjoyed being here.
And thanks to KETR's Listening Faithful for the opportunity to share the very latest from my perspective. Let's do this again next month, Jared.
All right. The President's Perspective is recorded and produced at the KETR studios in historic Binion Hall on the campus of Texas A&M University Commerce, and airs on the first Wednesday of each month at noon and again at 5 p.m. Archives and podcasts of this program can be found at ketr.org, where you can also make a financial contribution in support of locally produced programs like this one. Support for this program comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and from the Friends of KETR. I'm Jared Knight. Thanks for listening.